And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, and by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher, and I thank you for joining with us as we come to this book of Revelation, chapter 14, the blessedness of the Christian. No one can rob you of the grace and the power of God in your soul. This is the security of the saints. This is why we believe in salvation that is all of God, all of grace, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and in Christ we are safe. We're safe now, we're safe tomorrow, and we are safe for all eternity. As we turn here to Revelation chapter 14, we're going to learn these things. And I have found the book of Revelation to be the most comforting and reassuring book of all, as long as we look for that message that's contained therein. We're not interested in sensationalism. We're not interested in mere speculation. We want to go into the Bible, read it for what it's worth, and rejoice in its truth. So I trust you'll stay tuned right through the program today as we turn to Revelation chapter 14.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for that gift of faith, saving faith, conquering faith that makes your people overcomers. We pray tonight that thou wilt breathe upon us by the Holy Spirit and fill us full of faith and of the Spirit, that we will be men and women who know something of the inner power of the gospel within our souls, and that you'll minister to us in grace tonight. Open up these scriptures to us, we pray. Give us an understanding of the great, mighty battle between light and darkness, between heaven and hell, between truth and error. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us grace to stand for thee. Now give that liberty that we need in the pulpit. Lord, I need your touch. I pray thee now to fill me and fit me for this task to minister your word. In the Savior's name, amen. Amen. In this overview tonight, we're going to go back into chapter 13 just a little bit, and we're going to start with 666. It's the last verse in Revelation chapter 13. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. This beast is a part of the satanic trinity. There are three persons, there are three forces at work that are the counter of the true Trinity. If you go back to chapter 12 and verse 17, you will learn there of the dragon. And that, of course, is the devil who assumes the role of God. And you can see there in chapter 12, 17, that the dragon was wroth with the woman being the church. And the church has always been under attack by the enemy of darkness. Now, down in chapter 13, verse 4, you will see that there are those who give their worship to this dragon. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. You can see something of the hierarchy here. There is the dragon, and he gives power to the beast. The beast is active in the world, and those that are loyal to the beast worship the dragon. Now, in chapter 13, verse 3, you will see that this beast, which, by the way, in verse 1, comes up out of the sea, and he assumes the role of Christ. This is Antichrist. And you'll see there in the verse 3 that he represents Christ because he is wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. He is an imitator of Christ, who died and came to life again. And this beast that rose up out of the sea is going to deceive the nations, and instead of leading to the true Christ, is going to lead people away to follow a false Christ. Then in chapter 13:11, you have another beast, and he is a third character, a part of this satanic trinity. And I beheld another beast. This is chapter 13, verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now we're going to liken him to the counterpart of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see the work that he is up to. As you read verse 12, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. And so his exercise, his dreaded dark work, is a work of deception. And he creates confusion, and he creates signs and wonders that cause the following of that first beast. Now the devil is a counterfeiter. He apes God, he apes Christ, and he apes the Holy Spirit. And where you have the true Christ, you will always have the false. And that is the mode of operation of Satan at all times. Where there is the truth, he will present the lie. Now, if the book of Revelation ended at chapter 13, we would be, as Paul did say, of all men most miserable. We would think the future is but gloom and darkness, and there is no hope. But when you flip the page and you turn to chapter 14, verse 1, you can see a much different picture. You can see a new revelation here in verse 1. And I looked. And so there is now a vision that is given, and lo, a lamb. Oh, what a difference. What a difference. Here is the true Savior of the world. And we're told here that he stood on the Mount Zion, and with him are the 144,000. Now, here is the church, and this is a symbolic number. The math does not add up to look at it any other way. And just as 666 is a symbolic number of the wicked one, and it's the number of man, man, man. Failure, failure, failure. That's 666. It's a symbolic number. It represents the one who will seek to be the God of this world, but he will fail. And in this 144,000, which is 12 times 12 and all the multiplying, this is the number of the redeemed, the people of God. Now, you will notice that they're in heaven. They are in Zion. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him. These are with the lamb. And they are on the Mount Zion. S-I-O-N, Sion. There's only one other place in the Bible where this is mentioned, and it's Hebrews 12. And if you take time to read and study that, it's heaven. In fact, you have listed there eight things that are in heaven. The innumerable company, the souls of the just made perfect. And so this is the church now that is redeemed, and they are with the Lamb, and they are with the Lord. Now we learned, and I hope we remember, that the book of Revelation is made up of different segments and cycles. And it is not a chronological book going step by step, time by time, period, page by page through the book of Revelation. there are scenes that are given. And those scenes start at the very beginning and they go to the end, to the time when Christ will come. And then the next section of the book will give more detail on the same time period from the beginning to the end. And it keeps going on in cycles right through the book. Now in this chapter 14, we have the harvest of the world. Now we're not near the end of the book yet, but we have here itemized that great day when Christ will come. And he will command his angels to thrust in their sickles and reap the world. We see that here in chapter 14. Now, for a theme of this section in the book of Revelation is from a repeated statement. And when you are looking in a book like this, you need to look for those repeated statements. Would you look with me at two references? The first one is chapter 13, 10. Revelation 13, verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Now that would be speaking of days of persecution. Chapter 13 is a very dark chapter. It's a time when the church is pressured, persecuted, when they are fleeing, and many face horrendous events. But you'll notice at the end of verse 10, and here's the theme. Here's a statement that comes up again. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now the word patience there means cheerful endurance. These are not Christians or saints who have a give-up attitude. They are willing to pay the price. They're willing to endure hardship for Christ and serve him whatever the cost, even unto death. Now in chapter 14, verse 12, you will see that the same statement is repeated. And after a whole list of horrible events, you'll see here in chapter 14, 12, here is the patience of the saints. And so chapter 14 in particular is a tremendous chapter of hope. It is a chapter where in spite of everything that the devil throws at the church overcomes, perseveres. And this is tied into a very common solid doctrine of our faith called the perseverance of the saints. Now, it's not preservation of the saints, it's perseverance. Now, it's very like preservation because we're kept by the power of God. We are preserved. But in God's grace in the hearts of his people, he gives his people the spirit of perseverance to press on, to cheerfully endure with patience, whatever it takes to be loyal and faithful unto the Lord Jesus. And the message that we learn in these chapters, especially as we think of that 144,000, is that every Christian makes it to heaven. Would you say that 10 times for me? This will thrill your heart tonight. If you learn this lesson, if it's the only thing that you get tonight, you will be blessed. Every Christian makes it to heaven. When the roll is called up yonder, every true blood-washed saint who is united to Christ the Lamb, they will be there. And that is the message of hope that we find right in this passage. And it's all because what we see here in this opening statement of chapter 14, 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood. He's conquering. He's standing. He is for his people. Now this lamb is unchangeable. He's still a lamb. And it was John the Baptist who gave that title when our Lord was baptized in the River Jordan. Behold, the Lamb of God. And in the book of Revelation, he is worshipped as the Lamb. He's unchangeable. He's also undefeatable because he's still standing. He is the Savior that is not knocked down. He is the leader and the conqueror of his people. He is also undeniable. He is worthy of worship. And these 144,000 that are with him, they worship him and they have his Father's name written on their foreheads. Now that writing on the forehead is the antidote or the opposite to the mark of the beast. There are warnings in this passage of those who serve the beast and worship him. These who have the Father's name written in their foreheads, they are sealed, they are kept, and they shall be in heaven. Now, I did preach these before, and I want to preach them again. The eight things in this chapter 14, eight things that the saint of God, the redeemed, cannot lose. And again, I trust that this will thrill your heart. The things that you as a Christian, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you cannot lose. And the first one, that you cannot lose that mark of the Father's name. Right there in verse 1, those that are with the Lamb, those that are right present in Mount Zion, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Now down in verse 3, you'll notice that these are though they that sing this new song, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And they have the mark. They are members of the church. Now this 144,000, let me say it over and over, is a symbolic number for the church, which is the great multitude which no man could number. That's back in chapter 7. And since then, that first scene in chapter 7, these saints have come through so much. The seven trumpets, that whole section from chapter 8 to 11, and then chapter 12 and 13, where you have the Antichrist, the beast rising up out of the sea, and the other beast of the land that comes forth. And many saints come through the wrath of Satan. They are brought through the persecution. And in these chapters, they are conquerors. Now let's go back just a couple of verses, pages here. Chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea, of the earth, and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And in verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. This is the church. This is the church that was redeemed. But though the devil does his worst, every one are on Mount Zion on that day, and they are with the Lamb. In verse 17 of chapter 12, you'll see again the evil work of the enemy. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so we see again this persecution, this opposition is against the people of God. And maybe tonight you feel that. Maybe tonight you feel the crushing power, the struggle of the Christian life. This is real. This is real spiritual warfare. You would like to be a man or woman of prayer. You would like to get onto a higher plane with God, but it seems that every attempt you make to make progress in the Christian life, you get dragged down. There are forces at work to hinder your Christian walk and service. And that's the real world in which we live. That's the battle that we are facing. And as time goes on, the forces seem to get stronger. The powers that Christians enjoy seem to get restricted and limited. And there is a price to pay for being a Christian. But the good news is that if you're redeemed by the blood, you're going to be there. You're going to withstand every persecution of the enemy, and you will be with Christ one day. And that ought to thrill your heart. Now, the Lord Jesus said it over and over again, that I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. These are great promises and great statements of fact for the Christian. And here we see it in drama form right in this book of Revelation. Even martyrs are safe. No one can rob you of the grace and the saving power of the Lord. You have a guarantee. You're sealed unto that great day. And so this is the first thing here. You cannot lose that mark of the Father.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.